Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Jai Samamata Bhakta Vrindaki Jai Gopri Vinandi All glories to Sam Madhavatis All glories to Sam Madhavatis All glories to Sam Madhavatis All glories to Sri Guru Sri Guru All glories to Sri Guru Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pachachadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Verse 2, is it? Iti sambhashamana su. Three beasts, shu, and a beer, nishu. Aya your munayas tatra. Krishna Rama Dadrikshaya.
Krishna Rama Dadrikshaya.
See?
इति दास संभाषमाना as they were conversing strihi with women strishu women and rabi with men nrishu men ayayu arrive munaya great sages tatra at that place Krishna Rama Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram Didrikshaya with the desire to see. Translation, as the women thus talked among themselves and the men among themselves, a number of great sages arrived there, all of them eager to see Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram. They included Vapayana, Narada, Chavana, Devala and Sita, Vishvamitra, Satananda, Bharadvaja, and Gautama, Lord Parasurama and his disciples, Vashishta, Galava, Bhrigu, Pulastya, and Kasipa, Atra, Markandeya, and Brihaspati, Dvipta, Tripta, Ekata, and the four Kumaras, and Angira, Agastya, Yajnavalkya, and Vamadeva. As soon as they saw the sages approaching, the kings and other gentlemen who had been seated immediately stood up, including the Pandava brothers and Krishna and Balaram. They all then bowed down to the sages who were honored throughout the universe. Lord Krishna, Lord Balaram, and the other kings and leaders properly worshiped the sages by offering them words of greeting, sitting places, water for washing their feet, drinking water, flower gardens, incense, and sandalwood paste. After the sages are comfortably seated, the Supreme Lord Krishna, whose transcendental body protects religious principles, addressed them in the midst of the great assembly. Everyone listens silently with rapt attention. Supreme Lord said, "Now our lives are indeed successful, for we have obtained life's ultimate goal, the audience of great yoga masters, which even demigods only rarely obtain." Purport, despite the great privileges the demigods enjoy as the administrators of the universe, they rarely see great sages, such sages as Narada and Vyasadeva. How much rarer then must it be for earthly kings and mere cowards to see them? Here Lord Krishna, identifying himself with all the kings and others who assembled there at Samanta Panchaka, speaks on their behalf. How is it the people who are not very austere and who recognize God only in his deity form in the temple can now see you, touch you, inquire from you, bow down to you, worship your feet, and serve you in other ways? Mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the real worshipable deities. These purify one only after a long time, but saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. Purport, because the personality of Godhead is absolute, the Supreme Spirit, any representation of whether manifest in stone, paint, sound, or other authorized medium is not different from its original form in the topmost spiritual planet, Goloka Vrindavan. But ordinary demigods are not absolute, being infinitesimal spirit souls, and thus representations of the demigods are not identical with them. Worship of demigods or ritual bathing in a sanctified place gives only limited benefit to those who lack transcendental faith in the Supreme Lord. On the other hand, great Vaishnava saints like Vyasadeva, Narada, and the four Kumaras are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and thus they are veritable moving tirthas, places of pilgrimage. even a moment's association with them, especially by hearing their glorification of the Lord, can deliver one from all material entanglement. As King Yudhisthira said to Vidura, Bhavad Vida Bhagavatas Tirtha Bhuta Swayam Vibho Tirti Kurvanti Tirtani Swanta Stena Gadaprata. My Lord, devotees like your good self are verily holy places, personify thee, because you carry the personality of Godhead within your heart. You turn all places into places of pilgrimage. Translation, mere bodies of water are not the real sacred places of pilgrimage, nor are mere images of earth and stone the true worshipable deities. These purify one only after a long time, but saintly sages purify one immediately upon being seen. So this is a glorification of the devotees, which is seen in other places as well, as quoted in from Canto 1 of Bhagavatam. The devotees are places of pilgrimage in themselves because they have within them the Supreme Lord. Now, of course, all of these sages mentioned here are not necessarily the highest devotees. Some are more into karma and jnana or whatever, like Atri Muni. But among them, we do have very exalted devotees like Narada Muni himself. And Vyasadeva himself. So there are some very great devotees who are also incarnations of the Lord present. So the statement here is that by meeting the devotees, one immediately gets purified, whereas one goes to sacred places, or one worships the deity, one only gets purification after some time. So what this illustrates is the fact that devotee association is very powerful. This does not mean that, therefore, the sacred places are useless or that worshipping deities are useless. No. And we see that the five important angas of bhakti include worshipping the deity and living in a holy place. So, obviously very, very powerful. So, of course, particularly if the place is Krishna's place, like Vrindavan, the deity is the deity of Krishna, then very, very powerful. Just as the name of Krishna is most powerful. So we should never underestimate the power of these things. And in fact, we see that even the name of Narayan chanted accidentally can remove all of your karmas instantaneously. So therefore, it's not that it only takes a long time in all cases. The association with the devotee is very crucial in the development of bhakti. So we may have all the other angas, but we also need the association of devotees. So, of course, we say that the major anga of bhakti is chanting the holy name, Nam Sankirtan. But we cannot separate that from sadhu sangha and shravanam and other processes also. Sadhu Sangha is one of the five important ones, and it's always very necessary. And in fact, faith is the qualification for bhakti, but faith takes place by Sadhu Sangha. Accidental association with devotees, getting their mercy, causes faith. And then after one gets faith, then one needs Sadhu Sangha, by which one gets knowledge. And then after we get the Sadhu Sangha, then we begin the process of chanting and worshipping the deity and other processes. We do bhakti. We could say that the first anga of bhakti is association of devotees. It causes the faith, and through the faith one associates with the devotees, and by that one begins the process of bhakti. So it's a very preliminary form of bhakti which is necessary for beginning the whole process. And of course, after one starts the process, then sadhu sangha is also
recommended. And therefore we see that the Madhyavadhikari is a devotee who associates with other devotees, whereas the Kanishtadhikari only worships the Lord in the temple, and therefore he does not advance very nicely. The Madhyavadhikari associates with other devotees, and then he advances very nicely. So association is always very, very necessary. So what is the importance of that association? So one, of course, is that it is through the devotees that one gets knowledge. And without knowledge, one cannot advance. We may talk about mercy of devotees, etc. But that mercy must include knowledge. Otherwise, it's very difficult to advance in devotional service. So, therefore, sadhu sangha means that one gets shiksha, one gets teachings about the process of bhakti, about the Supreme Lord. And without that, it is very difficult to do pure bhakti. Certainly we can do bhakti, but it won't be called pure bhakti. And if we don't do pure bhakti, we won't get the final result of prema. So that is why the association of devotees is very important. So teaching is one aspect of that. Of course, just the presence of devotees also is purifying. So, just as Vrindavan is purifying, or coming near the deities is purifying, so coming near a devotee also is purifying. Because of the presence of the Supreme Lord and the process of bhakti. So automatically purifying. But unlike the Dhamma or the deity, we can actually get knowledge directly from the devotee. Generally, we don't speak to the deity and get teachings directly from the deity. And we don't get directions from the Dhamma, instructions from the Holy Dhamma. But we get direct teachings from the devotee. So that enables us to advance very quickly. Because we get very clear indications on how to perform bhakti. Otherwise, we speculate like anything. So we get what we get is scripture. Through the devotees, we get the scripture. So, very, very valuable. Of course, one can take scripture from any source. But we know that if the source of scripture is a non-devotee, then it becomes like poison. It loses its meaning. It may take on opposite meaning. And that's why it's said to be poisonous, because it is contaminated by materialistic thoughts. So, therefore, we have to have scripture, but we have to take the scripture through the devotees of the Lord. Then it becomes very powerful. Of course, scripture itself is not different from the Lord also, like the deity is and the holy name is. So, when it comes from the devotee, then it has extra shakti in it, extra power, spiritual power. And this has very good effect on the jiva, on the particular person. So, the association with the devotee is therefore very important. So, though we cannot minimize the power of purification of the deity or the Dhamma, etc., still, association with the devotees has its unique aspect of the devotee giving proper teaching so that we can advance by that. And of course, we get inspiration from the example of the devotees. So therefore, the devotees are often glorified more than anything else. The pilgrimage places are quite common as, a type of way of purifying yourself, and therefore people go on pilgrimages to places, in spite of the fact that they have to endeavor to go there. And in ancient times they had to walk there also. So, you know, to go from North India down to South India, to go to some temple down here, or to go to Kanchipuram, or to go from South India all the way up to Vrindavan or Badrinath. It's a big endeavor. But the scriptures always praise this. You visit the holy Tirtha and you get so much purification that way. So, and people did that. We find people are traveling great distances to go to these places for purification. Not just purification, but say spiritualization. So no doubt, very, very powerful. The place and the water, etc., all very purifying. But Benedict has always said that the best value of the place of pilgrimage is to meet and get instructions from a great devotee. Because the devotees also go to those places and then one can get knowledge through them. So if one gets sadhu sangha at a place of pilgrimage, very, very good. The places are purifying, but the teachings we get from the Vaishnava are very special, because not only purifying, but we get guidance on how to practice bhakti. Whereas you simply go to the Dhamma and sit there, if you don't know anything about bhakti, you won't do bhakti. So you have to get some influence and instructions from someone, and then we can take to the process. So, of course, if an ignorant person goes to the Dham, very fortunate they can meet a devotee, they can get instructions, and they can begin the practice. So that is why the devotee is also important in the Dhamma, because they can give guidance to the jivas that go there. So therefore, the association is of prime importance for advancement in devotional service. So in Nectar Devotion, for instance, we have all the angas of bhakti. So, 20 are preliminary, door to bhakti. And of those, then Rupa Goswami says the first three are most important. So one is take shelter of a guru and take shiksha and diksha and serve with reverence. So therefore, there again, the devotee is stressed among all things. So these are the preliminary things, because it's only through the devotees that we can understand how to perform bhakti properly, how to chant the holy name, etc. So the devotee is instrumental, and therefore it is said that the devotee plants the seed of bhakti in the heart. We have faith, but faith is not enough. We have to do something. So what do? We don't know. Therefore, it's through the devotee that we get to know what to do. Proper activities. Of course, with faith, people concoct all sorts of things they can do in this world, but it may be right by chance, but usually it's wrong or partially wrong or whatever. So, better that we get the precise instructions on what to do once we have faith. So, if we go to a proper devotee, then we get instructions on pure bhakti, and we can follow the process very nicely and advance towards prema. So in this way we get the knowledge, a correct knowledge of the process, activities we should do, and we also get inspiration for the goal. So all of that is very important, and doing it on our own, we can speculate and come to all sorts of wrong conclusions. So therefore, the devotee is very, very important. So, here we have some great sages coming to visit the people of Kurukshetra. Of course, the sages are coming because Krishna is there. So they like to see the Supreme Lord because they are devotees of the Lord. Narada Muni always comes to visit Krishna because he understands he is servant of Krishna. So on the part of the sages, they want to see Supreme Lord, but from the point of view of pastimes, Krishna and Balaram, they begin to respect the sages and glorify them, because they're acting as kings, and the sages are very high up elevated spiritual personalities. So playing their role as kings, they praise them and give proper respects to them. Just as when Narada Muni goes to Dwarka, then Krishna worships him and offers praise to him. In this way, Krishna is speaking and glorifying these sages, worshiping them and then glorifying them with words of praise. So this particular verse here is one of praise, how the devotee is most worshipable. And of course we often see verses in the Bhagavata and in other scriptures glorifying the devotee. So though it is said that Vishnu was most worthy of worship more than the devatas, the devotees even more worthy of worship than Vishnu himself. We have many statements like this in different scriptures. This does not mean that the devotee is the Supreme Lord, or that according to Tattva he's superior to the Lord. No, he's always a jiva. But the devotee is the means by which the jivas can start the process of bhakti and achieve prema. So they are instrumental in the Lord's plan for delivering the jivas. So therefore one has to give proper respect to them. If one does not respect the devotee, then one will not get the proper teachings, one will not get mercy, and one cannot advance. So therefore one has to worship the and respect the devotees. And of course, though the devotee is not the Supreme Lord, we're taught that we should see the devotee as like the Supreme Lord himself. Why? Because he's delivering the Supreme Lord. And without his intervention, it's impossible for us. So very necessary to give that proper respect. So when proper respect is given, then knowledge is given. If we don't have the proper respect, we don't get the knowledge. So that is why it's customary that one has to, even in material knowledge, that one has to submit. So in Bhagavad Gita it says pranipat. Pat means to fall down. To fall, knee means to fall down, and pranipat means to fall down very much. So pranipatena, with falling down with great obedience, what respect, one approaches the devotee. And if so, then one can get the knowledge from them. On the other hand, the person has to be qualified to get the knowledge, not only by humility, but by inquisitiveness, or pariprashna. So here we see how Krishna will begin to ask questions. Others will ask questions to the sages in order to get knowledge. Okay. Sometimes people will respect devotees and worship devotees to get mercy, but they don't want to hear any instructions. No knowledge. So that's also just not so good. So we do need to get the knowledge. We have to have a desire and longing to get the knowledge by which we can advance. In other words, it's not just the devotees deliver a person. They deliver the person by giving knowledge, and by knowledge then the devotee does some activity. So it's just not instant delivery. But one gets knowledge by which one can do activities to progress in the process of devotional service. So the devotee has a responsibility, and that is to follow the instructions properly, which is seva. So if the procedure is followed properly, then one can advance in devotional service. We can execute the activities properly, and we can get the proper result. Yeah. So, in this way, the plan of Krishna is fulfilled.
You see that proper etiquette is required to acquire knowledge and to have an association of devotees. But sometimes we find that when somebody is conversing, is always taken not to be very pleasing. How one can converse in a way that it will be pleasing for everybody? Some devotees are considered to be pleasing whatever the way they talk or whatever way they talk. But some devotees are considered to be not pleasing even if they are trying to performance. So how to talk in a pleasing way so that we can convince other devotees and take their association?
Is that as far as one of the teaching?
Even about their association with devotees. Some devotees are considered to be very pleasing in their talking. Some are considered not to be very pleasing.
Well, we know that the process of bhakti gives two results in sadhana bhakti. One is kleshagni, the other is subhada. So, of course, kleshagni means it removes all of the bad qualities, and subhada means it gives all good qualities. So if we practice the proper, the process of bhakti properly, then we develop all good qualities. And one of those good qualities is one becomes attractive to everybody in the world. So, merely by practicing the process properly, then naturally all good qualities and pleasing the whole world will manifest.
Devotees have the function of giving the scriptures and guiding the devotee from a very practical perspective. But then, and it's a gradual process. But then we also hear this that lava matra sadhu sangha sarasiddhi koi. Then how do we understand that statement? Because it very clearly defines a very small part of time. And then that association is enough for sarasiddhi.
Well, even if one associates for a second, that is a sukriti. So one may not develop in this lifetime, but it adds to one's sukriti so that eventually one gets faith and one can take the process of bhakti. So therefore any association at all, accidental or whatever, is very valuable. And without that, one doesn't get faith. Without faith, one cannot properly practice bhakti. So therefore even the momentary association is very important because it has to build up over many lifetimes when one doesn't have faith.
Also, we see that the same devotee from whom we are taking association and teachings, so we have a relationship of being instructed and the instructor or the teacher, guru. And at the same time, we may also have a relationship, like in this one, we have managerial relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So then there is, then the relationship becomes very, there are two different kinds of roles.
Yeah.
So then how do we strike a balance, Maharaj? Because at one time we say that this spiritual master is perfect and then he is not different from the Supreme Lord. And at the same time we also may have difference of opinion and...
In other words, the two roles overlap in some cases where the person is having two different functions. And therefore it's difficult sometimes to conduct oneself. But obviously, we should try to separate the two things. And as far as managerial things, we should think in terms of managerial intelligence. And the role of the guru is the spiritual role. So as much as possible, separate the two things and keep them separate. Otherwise, we can get into all sorts of problems because as responsible managers, then we may not be able to be responsible because we can't do anything properly. So we have to be careful that we separate the roles.
In this, there is this verse where it talks about body made of water. this verse talks about that. So does that have any significance? Because now from a modern science perspective, we understand the bodies are actually made up of large part of water. And then Jiva Goswami's commentary, I think in the end of second canto, is also he talks about particle of sun rays. So even that discovery is actually quite modern. Earlier everybody believed that they are waves, but now only recently we know that they are particles of duality, particle wave duality is there. So, I mean, this knowledge existed even at that time because it's very explicitly written. I mean, Jiva Goswami writing the particles of sun rays, I mean, I was just surprised with that statement.
Oh, well, you know, I think it's quite common actually because even in Bhagavatam, I think we have smallest particles like this, and they describe very, very small particles. So then they speak of particles in, of the sunlight. Within the rays, there's particles also, the photon or whatever you can call that. Yeah, so that's quite a common example given of the jiva is like the particle of light within the sun's rays or whatever. But I think it's not only Jiva Goswami, it's just a common concept there, and probably from Sankhya.
Since we are in a spiritual atmosphere, even the management is spiritual, because whatever instruction we give is only directed to the serving the deities and anything kind of preaching.
Yeah.
It's not material. So
yeah.
In case it's both management and spiritual, I think it was spiritual.
Yeah, even the management within a society, spiritual society is spiritual, obviously, but still we have to distinguish between decisions made managerially and decisions for and advice given spiritually. So spiritual advice has got to do with process of bhakti. Managerial advice may be dealing with finances or construction, etc. The two are a little bit different there. Even though the construction is a temple or whatever and the money is for Krishna, still some material expertise is required in regard to that type of management.
See, in Vedic times, we see the king does the managerial items, all the machines and lambs, they do the spiritual activities.
Yeah, separate. It's quite separate there. And even we find with the Goswamis, they had temples built, but they didn't build the temple. Somebody else built the temples. King built the temple. Rich man built the temple. They didn't worry about it. They just did their bhajan or whatever and wrote scriptures. So they separated the roles. In a mutt where the guru is the head of the mutt, then he does both things. But then that may be problematic also if he's not a good manager. If possible, it's probably better that we, as much as possible, separate the two roles. It's a little confusing sometimes.
This is separate. Oh, you're a devotee, you be a manager, you're a spiritual, that means we are finding some differences. How can we classify that? He's very spiritual. A spiritual person also can be a manager.
It can be both, but then we have to not equate one with the other, because the spiritual instruction is absolute, therefore the managerial instruction is absolute. We get in a lot of problem doing that, because managerially can make mistakes. Spiritually we don't, because it follows scripture. But managerially we make a decision that could be a big problem and cause a loss of money and do so many things. So we have to be, you know, separate them to some degree.
Point is, the manager is spiritually oriented. He knows money belongs to Krishna. So everything is linked with the God's connection.
Yeah, definitely.
So he can be very careful.
Yeah, yeah. In that sense, okay. But as far as managing itself, then the person, the guru, may not be a good manager. So therefore, to expect him to make perfect managerial decisions may bring up a lot of problems.
What happens if there is a difference of opinion there?
Well, as far as managerial things, we have to listen to the managerial authority. As far as spiritual things, listen to the spiritual authority. That's all. Otherwise, we get a confusion of roles and a mixture of authority, and then nobody listens to anybody. You know, and then it's a big problem.
Take decisions, and he would, and sometimes he he himself would change decisions based on the outcomes of those decisions, right? Sometimes he decided things didn't work out, then he would change and modify that. Also.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have an understanding that it is coming from spiritual minds and absolute perfect, so like manifestation may not be absolute, whereas spiritual knowledge is absolute.
Yeah.
That can come from any devotee who is spiritually oriented. Any devotee, not an emperor, any devotee, it doesn't mean that one is spiritual master, a Shiksha Guru, he also can be getting a revelation.
Well, in one sense, Lord Chaitanya said everybody who teaches Krishna consciousness is guru in one sense, so he's giving instruction, so in that sense they're guru.
No, but when it comes to the point of management, it depends upon, though it can be considered as a spiritual activity, when it comes to the point of how far that manager is realized, we can see that, or we have some examples saying that the manager claiming that he is also a spiritual person and start using all the wealth of Krishna for his own benefits. Because he's not renounced, or he's not able to detach his needs and the spiritual needs.
Well,
he's
also
a spiritual person.
Yeah, so that is abusing the role.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how we handle such situations and see people that it should be put into the proper use?
Well, we have to be intelligent. We need discernment.
Suppose if my face is dirty, my face is completely filled with dust. Even if we see the mirror, clean mirror, I only see as a dirty mirror. Unless I clean my face and dust my eyes. Similarly, if I am contaminated, even if I associate with a pure devotee, I don't even see the black things. How we can relate this?
You have to be qualified. One has to be qualified. So, again, to get instructions, if one is not going to follow the instructions, what use is the instructions then? Or they won't understand the instructions if they don't have any devotion. Therefore, there has to be some qualification on the part of the person approaching the devotees. So, therefore, we say that the devotee only preaches to the faithful. That means they have some capacity for understanding, appreciating, and following, and therefore they will give instructions to them, otherwise they don't.
Person who has realized that the other person, your face is dirty, you clean your face, then you can see the reality.
Certainly we can give instructions according to the qualification of the person, or if they're very not qualified, we don't give instructions at all. Just tell them to take prasadam or something, that's it, you know? So, depending on the person, we give different instructions. Well, of course, when we talk about the qualities manifesting, ultimately we're talking about spiritual qualities, like the qualities in Krishna, 64 qualities. Now, of course, there's intelligence and so many qualities there as well. However, a jiva, when he's practicing bhakti and doing sadhana, he's not going to have all those qualities to the extent that Krishna has. And yes, he can develop intelligence and maybe managerial skill, whatever, through the process of bhakti also. At the same time, we do have, and of course, if he is got that type of advancement, then definitely he can do things by the mercy of Krishna. At the same time, if we do have managerial skills from the material world or whatever, then it may be a little bit easier for us to do things. Just as you could try to do business as a devotee, but if you already have business training, it's much easier. Okay? Or if you want to be a doctor, then if you take the course in medicines, but you're going to succeed, whereas if you just try on your own, you're not going to do it. So even if we're a devotee, we can't just pray to Krishna, I'll heal everybody and it'll happen. So then you'd have to take a medicine course or whatever. So there are technical skills also involved in some things in the material world that may be easier for us to just learn them or have someone that has learned them do them rather than we having to depend on Krishna's mercy to learn them, which may take several lifetimes even to do.
Mudayas and sages, they all come and assemble in that place. So it looks like even Dwapara Yuga, interplanetary travel was there. Most of the sages, they will stay in the same place. Like Parashuram, they would come from different times. But you see, in Kali Yuga, we don't see that.
Well, yeah, Prabhupada said in Dwapara Yuga and other yugas, the sages would come, the devatas would come. Kali Yuga, they don't. Let's avoid the place. It's too contaminated.
See, even Parashurama, he's a different kind of avatar. He's also present.
Yeah. Narada Muni's there, Vyasadeva's there.
Today's Ramana Sarai is the biggest.
But do we understand that all these personalities have Krishna's realization? Those stages one person and this.
Well, different degrees. Like we have people like Atri and others who are more or less into more like karma and things like that, and Vishwamitra, etc. So they're not on the same category as Narada Muni, who's a Shaktivesh avatar of bhakti. So there's a different, it's a mixture of people there.
So it is okay, Maharaj, that the devotees can also go through this managerial training skills and all that in order to use it in the service of the.
Yeah, but that's why they have training courses. The leads training courses are for presidents and the other one. Well, could, yeah. Or if you've done it before, then very convenient, then you don't have to do it later on.
You see some places like the retreat temples, very well managed. But spiritually, they don't respect the sannyasis. So sometimes too much management also be a different thing. Should balance both.
Well, definitely. So that's why we have the managerial thing there, but we're not relying totally on that because it's a spiritual movement, so therefore we have spiritual practices and the managers are devotees also.
Devotees who deliver the Lord, he also should be oshit. Okay. And how to accept that oshit? Because who is delivering Krishna, because he's representing the Supreme Lord. He also, because we see that devotee himself is oshit.
Yeah.
So how one should think when there is a oshit?
Well, here they give incense and whatever, here it says, yeah? And water and whatever.
Attitude, what attitude one should receive that oshit?
Who? The sage?
No, that when someone is oshit, the person who is being worshipped.
Whose attitude? The person who's doing the worship or the one who's receiving the worship? Well, as far as the sages are concerned, it's not a matter of pride. It's just like Krishna, if he gets worshipped, it's not that he's accepting it as a matter of pride, but he's accepting the devotional attitude of the person. And Krishna's attracted to devotion. So they're similar with the devotee. If he gets worshipped by another person, it's not the idea of subservience of another person, but their Krishna conscious attitude is more important.
When you see devotees do for preaching for some house program or other program, other devotees worship the devotees. And in that place, how should one develop that attitude? Okay, I am a representative of the Supreme Lord, sometimes out of pride, we are respect to me because I'm the devotee of the Lord. Because the respect also can come under this, like a puja, the one of the anantra. Because,
well, if one gets attached to that, then definitely that's material, and that's an anartha. Or we call it the tarangarangani. We get attracted to the results of bhakti, that we get position, worship, respect, and all that. So if one is attached to those things in a material way, then that's an anartha. So the only way we view it is it's only the process of respect that brings about knowledge. So because they have that respect, then they can receive knowledge. So for that reason, it's good. But as far as thinking it's we have a good position because of that, or we get joy out of being worshipped, then, and then it's an artha.
Some predict future, like we have there'll be a personality who will be preaching all over the world, Ram Sankirtan. And there'll be many scriptures, some sloka verses, it may also tell that. The other sampradayas may take that for their own sampradaya. Sometimes we in ISKCON meeting that whatever is mentioned in the Vedic scripture is only applicable to Gaudiya sampradaya.
Yeah.
Irritating the other sampradayas.
Yeah, well, it can be interpreted any way, actually. Even like in, let's say, in something, Chaitanya Mangal or something like that. So the Gaudiya might will take that, oh, that's Bhaktisiddhanta, and we'll take it as Prabhupada or whatever like that. So things are in such a way that you could interpret it many different ways according to your devotion or whatever.
But won't the other sampradayas, devotees won't get upset that you're so proud that you link everything what is in the scripture that only your sampradaya can do.
Yeah.
So we should respect the other sampradaya.
Well, of course, if it is a scripture of that sampradaya, particularly, we have to be very careful on the interpretation of it. Yeah? In other words, if we go and start interpreting their scriptures, we may start making some, you know.
Interpret the writings of other sampradaya that's resource.
Yeah.
That should be
interpreted. So it may lead to a lot of problems.